Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
As you're turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, there's a phrase that is often used in the culture that I'm going to share with you this morning. I don't really like the phrase because I don't want anyone to get into a fight, but I understand why the phrase is used, okay? And so I'm going to tell you the phrase, even though I don't really like it, but I understand why it's used, okay? Here's the phrase. Don't take a knife to a gunfight. You've heard that phrase before, right? And it makes sense, and I get why people say it. I just don't want anyone fighting it, period, you know? But the phrase is there for a reason. You would be silly to take a knife to a gunfight, right? Because you wouldn't stand a chance. Well, the title of this three-part series that I'm starting today is Hunting Lions with a Squirt Gun. And it's along those same lines. If you were smart, you wouldn't hunt a lion with a squirt gun, right? This phrase is not original with me. I remember reading it years and years ago, maybe 30 years ago. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a cute phrase, talking about prayerlessness. And then just a couple of months ago, I came across the same phrase again. And then I got to thinking, I think we can do something with this and talk about it in church. Hunting lions with a squirt gun. You wouldn't go on a safari and expect your guides to protect you with squirt guns, right? Some of you have been on safaris. I know my next door neighbor went to Africa and went on a safari. Did you go on a safari? You went on a safari when you were in Africa. It would not be wise to go on a safari and just be protected by a squirt gun. We're talking in this three-part series that I'm starting today about prayerlessness as frivolousness. Really, this is going to be a sermon series on prayer, but we're going to talk about the frivolousness of prayerlessness. How do we expect to live in victory and live the Christian life and live the life that Christ has asked us to live if we are not people of prayer? It would be just as silly as hunting lions with a squirt gun. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 through 10. And I know the whole Bible is applicable to our everyday lives right where we are at. I get that. But there are some verses that just hit right where we are at in our culture and in the church today. And these are a couple of those verses. These are verses that, man, if you can underline in your Bible or memorize or really take into your heart, will help us in these days that we're living in. Peter is writing to the first century church, and they are facing persecutions and hardships and difficulties, and he gives them some incredible words of divine advice and power. And this is what he says, beginning at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. But go back to verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. I want to say a prayer, but today's prayer is going to come from Sue. Sue Thompson, if you don't know her, is an absolutely wonderful saint in our church. She's our prayer coordinator, but she has not been able to attend church for the past year and a half, because of her health. But she has not stopped being a prayer warrior. And every day, she sends me a prayer that she writes, sometimes twice a day. And I want to share the prayer that she sent me this morning. And this will be our prayer for today. Today we dance before you with joy and thanksgiving in our hearts. We acknowledge you as our King. All our praises and devotion we surrender willingly to you. You are all to us, and we acknowledge you as our King. We lay everything before you and totally trust that you will address it all. Use us to reflect your image to others. Bless the ministers and teachers of your word with essential messages that meet the needs of all that hear. May our lives honor you always. In Jesus Christ, we surrender all. Amen and amen. And a big shout out to Sue, who listens faithfully on the podcast every week. Sue, we love you. We're praying for you. Keep those prayers coming. We need them. A couple weeks ago, one of the Mullins boys, could have been all of them, came up to me and said, "Pastor John, when are we going to have another squirt gun battle?" Because last summer, right out here, we had a massive squirt gun battle. I mean, it was an epic battle. They should make a movie about it. I mean, you think the Trojan 10-year war was something. This was an epic battle. And I got them pretty good, and they got me pretty good, and we had a lot of fun. And so it got me to thinking, since they requested a squirt gun battle, guys, come on up, and look what I brought to church with me today. Now, to help out, you got to give me your best lion's roar, okay? Because we're talking about lions, okay? So if you want to get squirted, when I count to three, you got to give me your best lion's roar and stand right in front of Kay so that she can get some of the residual. Oh, okay. I've never seen her move so quickly in my life. Yeah. All right. You guys have it in you to give me the best lion's roar? You got it in you? I know you do. One, two, three.
All I did was pound it.
Thank you, guys. Give them a hand. Thank you, guys. Now, that doesn't mean you guys are exempt, all right? For example, someone in church this morning confessed to sinning. What's up with that? Anyone else need to confess to sinning? Come on. Back there. The other thing this is going to be very, very useful for is those of you who have a tendency to nod off during my sermons. Yeah? Yeah? I'm keeping this, all right? Now, yeah, I see you smiling big. Now, every week in this series, the gun is going to get larger. So those of you in the back, don't think you're safe, okay? You're not. It's hot out, it's August, and I'm in the mood to squirt people, okay? There you go. So Peter begins here in verse 8 with some pretty important words to the church and the Christians that he's writing to. He says, "Be alert and of sober mind." And can I say to you, I don't know if there's any more important message to the church today than to wake up, pay attention to what's happening in the world, pay attention to what's going on, and be alert and of sober mind. I mean, the church in North America is sleeping and has been sleeping for so long. And Peter is saying, guys, Wake up. There's stuff happening. Look. Be alert. Be awake. Be of sober mind. Pay attention to what's happening because there's stuff going on. And we need to be astutely aware of that which is happening. Now, Peter is simply recalling the words of Jesus, who on numerous occasions used similar language. So let's look at just one of the passages that Jesus uses. Turn with me to Mark chapter 13. These are the words of our Lord. If we are Christians, we take to heart every word that Jesus teaches in his word. And in Mark 13, beginning at verse 33, look at what Jesus says. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Here he goes again, verse 35. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. Let me read that phrase again for the church. Not just our church, but every church in North America and around the world. Do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Be alert. Be of sober mind. Wake up. Pay attention. There are things happening all around us, and we have got to be aware. We've got to wake up from our slumber, and we have got to be paying attention because there are things that are happening. Peter goes on and says this, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil. Some translations call him the adversary. He is the enemy. He is the adversary. He is not your friend. He is not your buddy. He is not on your side. He is against you. I know in American culture, we have fun with caricatures of the devil. You know, he's holding a pitchfork. He's got cute little horns. And sometimes he's smiling and he's mischievous. That's not what the Bible teaches at all. He's not a cute little cartoon that we can toy around with or dress up as for Halloween. The enemy, the devil, is your adversary, and he wants to take you down. It's what the Word of God teaches. Peter goes on, and he describes the devil for us in terms that we need to pay attention to. But let me first share with you what he does not do. In describing the devil, the enemy, our adversary, Peter does not give us a biblical lesson. He could have. He could have gone back to the very first part of Genesis and showed us again how the devil was very crafty in dealing with Adam and Eve, and how he was very sly, and how he used sly, cunning language. He could have done that. He could have taken us to Isaiah chapter 14 to talk about how the devil and a third of his angels fell from heaven. He could have given us an incredible biblical lesson about the devil, but he doesn't do that. The other thing Peter doesn't do when he describes the devil is he doesn't give us a metaphysical lecture on the ontological nature of the devil. He doesn't get into the metaphysics of the devil and how we are to think of him metaphysically. He could have, but he doesn't do that. And the other thing he does not do is he does not get philosophical about the personification of evil. He doesn't do that. He could have, but he doesn't do any of that. This is what he does when he is describing to us the devil. He gives us the most practical word picture metaphor that our minds could comprehend. And he describes the devil as one who prowls around like a roaring lion. We can picture that in our minds. He gets very practical and nitty-gritty. The devil, who is not on your side, is like a ferocious lion looking to take someone down. The other day I was watching one of my favorite shows on TV, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Because who doesn't want to be a millionaire, right? And this question came up, this was just the other night. This question came up, and I thought it was very, very interesting. Here was the question. By the way, I think that guy is Brad Paisley, right? Those of you who are country fans. Which, by the way, I heard an interesting thing that last week, for the first time ever in top 100 Billboard history, that the top five songs on the 100 Billboard were country songs. That's never happened before. So shout out to those of you who are country fans. It's not my favorite genre, but hey, if you're a country fan, good things are happening. So here was the question that I found very interesting. Sitting atop the food chain, the lion is commonly known as what? The president of the swamp? Sultan of the ocean? Czar of the desert? Or king of the jungle? Obviously, the answer is king of the jungle. The lion has always been and will always be the king of the jungle. Why? Because he is looking for someone to devour. He is not playing around. Let me say that again. Just making sure you're awake. The devil, our enemy, the adversary, is not playing around. He is looking, actively looking, for someone to devour. He will, if he gets a hold of you, and I don't mean to be graphic here, but I'm just reiterating what Peter is teaching. He will devour you limb by limb if he gets a hold of you. Now, sometimes when the devil does this, it's pretty obvious. Like what happened here in Springfield a couple days ago. You have innocent people just walking in the street, taking a stroll. And some guy, for whatever reason, decides to run them over. Kills the husband, the wife's in the hospital. That's pretty blatant, obvious, demonic evil. The next day, he goes to Gateway Mall and stabs a disabled man in his wheelchair and kills him. That's just blatant, obvious, demonic evil. Well, what happened in Twin Falls last week? It's been years, many, many years, but I've been on Blue Lakes Boulevard in Twin Falls. And for some guy to shoot up the In-N-Out place where people are just working and eating, that's just heartbreaking. And I watched the footage that the police released, and as I watched that, I wept. That's just demonic. People just trying to live their lives, and in an instant, the devil is not playing around. So sometimes it's pretty obvious what's happening in our culture when the devil is behind it. But other times, and I would say often, most of the time, it's not so obvious. It's pretty subtle the way the devil works. He's pretty sneaky. And he's pretty sly, and he's cunning, and he's crafty, and he's very underhanded, and he's conniving, and he's scheming, and he's manipulative. And it's often not so obvious how he works. A couple weeks ago, I went and saw The Odyssey, the big movie that just came out. Loved it. I thought it was fantastic. If you're not familiar with The Odyssey, it's a Greek story that Homer wrote about 3,000 years ago. No, not Homer Simpson. And he wrote the Iliad. It's a classic in Western literature. It was written before the Bible was written. If you don't know the story, it's a story of Odysseus who and his men who were trying to take the city of Troy, the Trojan War. 10 years they were trying to break down the walls of Troy. 10 years! And they couldn't do it. And so finally, Odysseus came up with an ingenious plan. Built this wooden horse. Big, hollow wooden horse. And he and his men hid in that horse. And it was a gift to the people of Troy so that they could open the gates of the city and allow the big, hollow wooden horse to come in. But what they didn't know is that they were inviting Odysseus and his men inside their city walls. And once they got in, they were able to open the gates, and the army came in and overtook the city of Troy. Pretty sneaky, right? I mean, it did the job. It was very manipulative, very cunning. And often that's what the devil does. He will hide in these things that we allow into our hearts and into our lives. And if we are not alert, if we are not of sober mind, if we are not watching, if we're still sleeping, we allow the enemy to come in and overtake us. Peter teaches here that the enemy, our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is not playing around. And we think we're going to take the devil with a squirt gun? Really? That's frivolous. If we are not people of prayer, we're not going to win that battle. The word devour in the Greek is katemino, kapemino. It literally means to destroy and then swallow. Do I need to show you animal kingdom videos of what a lion will do in the jungle? We can do it. I mean, I can tell him back there, pull up an animal kingdom video of a lion, the king of the jungle, doing his thing. I'll do it. We'll do it. I mean, if you're not understanding the severity of what the enemy wants to do, we'll show you a video. We'll show you a video of a... And I don't want to get graphic again, and I really don't want to ruin your lunch, but we'll show you a video of a lion tearing apart its prey limb by limb. This is severe, what the picture that Peter is painting for us. This devil is looking for someone to destroy and swallow and devour. He will devour people. He will devour friendships. He will tear apart marriages. He will rip apart churches, communities, nations, and we think we're going to fight him off with a squirt gun? So how do we take on this adversary? Because he's a sizable, formidable adversary. Well, as usual, the Bible gives us the answer. I get texts almost every day from Tim, and the other day he sent me a text, and he said, I was reading something in God's Word, and the answer was right there in front of me. And then I think you closed with, I love God's Word. I love that. Some of you send me texts about what God is teaching you through His Word. Keep them coming. I love to hear what God is teaching you through His Word. Matt wrote a whole book that I'm reading and reviewing about what God is teaching him. The answer is in God's Word, and it's right here in verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Resist him, and here's the key, standing firm in the faith. How are we going to defeat the adversary? In the faith. We worship in the faith. We pray in faith. We live by faith. The scriptures tell us repeatedly that the righteous will live by faith. We can and we will defeat the adversary by standing in the faith. We pray in the faith. We pray by faith. This is a spiritual battle. And God will give us the power and the victory in faith. I told you the Greek word for devour, which was kapaneo. That word is used a couple of times in the New Testament. I want to share with you one other time that it's used. And the Apostle Paul uses it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the Apostle Paul uses that word devour, kapaneo, to describe the victory that we have in Christ by faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54. He says this, "When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up, destroyed, devoured, kapaneo. Death has been swallowed up in victory." And then he goes on and says in verse 55, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" You see, there will be a devouring. Either the adversary will devour us, or we stand in faith and Christ will devour all the evil forces of the universe. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's recite the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God. We are located on the corner of 18th and East Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.